You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to NSPS Radio Hour for another edition. Glad to have everybody with us today. We're doing another in a series with Lisa Isom today. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you.
We've gotten some really positive responses from this series, as you know, Lisa, and I know that you're getting responses. A lot of people are calling in with questions that lead to other questions, which is always kind of neat. And I know when we left the last time, as is always the case, we have more topic than we do time usually. we're going to get back and pick up on the umbrella for business and then get into some the personal lines, the umbrella, and then specifics. And at some point, I know you have a couple of questions from last time. I don't know if you want to cover those first. Perhaps maybe that would be a good thing to do. But.
Sure, sure. Actually, you know, as you just indicated, we always get some feedback with respect to maybe some additional questions. And with that said, hopefully it may answer some other questions that's pending out there as well. So we'd like to share those comments with others. I know on the last show we spoke about flood insurance, and naturally, now that the rains are starting and there's flooding and actually just surface water, if you will, there's questions that come back. Oftentimes, you know, naturally with flood, you think about, you know, the flood in and around rivers or streams or the floodplains. But that is not necessarily always the case where flood insurance pays for itself. In this situation, a member called in and was asking the question with respect to his own home insurance, and most commercial and or home personal lines insurance exclude flood. And so in this particular case, it was just that. It was a situation to where the rain had come in. It was not near a stream or, you know, on a hillside even. But in this particular case, it was from his guttering. And so in this situation, the guttering did not hold up and caused rainwater to actually come in and seep in the sides of the flashing, I guess, on the roof. And so what actually transpired was it was clogged and wasn't draining properly. So it actually caused the effect of the water to penetrate and come into and down the sides of his walls and into the home. You know, naturally it wasn't a whole lot of you know, standing water, but in that situation, the personal lines company that in which he had did not pay for that damage. And so you can imagine in the area that he was in, it was a lot of humidity, a lot of hot, warm moisture that's going on, and this just transpired in the last 45 days. It was after it was right prior to our radio show. And in that situation, they not only had to tear up in the roofing portion of it, but all the way down drywall, down to studs, and replacement of carpet and so forth. In that situation, and it's the whole purpose of this of the radio show and speaking about insurance, is to realize of the dangers that are out there and prepare for them. So in this situation, you know, they assumed there was going to be coverage under their personal home, and there wasn't. So, you know, in that situation, there was several thousand dollars that the person had to put out on their own because they did not. That was not a covered cause of loss. So, again, you know, with flood insurance, it is certainly something that is covered from the flood insurance that is not covered under personal and or commercial on a standard insurance policy unless you ask for flood to be covered or insure it separately. So that's one of the things.
I was actually going to ask you a question about that.
Uh-huh.
So I guess everybody who's on the phone on the show today listening, if they're like me, they find those policies when they show up kind of hard to read anyway. So and instead of figuring out what's actually there, you go blindly into it thinking, okay, I'm good. But I guess the question is, the best thing to do is just to call your agent and ask about coverage, and then, of course, I guess they have rates depending on where you live or how you're situated close to whatever.
Yeah, naturally, you know, if you're in a floodplain, the cost of the flood insurance is going to be much more expensive. In this situation, we did quote it, and it was $227 for the year to have coverage for that particular loss. You know, when you weigh the odds and you have that kind of situation, you know, barring $30,000 to have your home repaired, $227 is pretty inexpensive.
So several years for that amount.
Several years, exactly. And, you know, and honestly, most people don't even realize until lately, you know, some of the people have actually commented about they didn't realize they could get flood insurance if they weren't in a floodplain. And, you know, yes, you can, definitely can. And it's very inexpensive if you're not in a floodplain. Naturally, it's going to be higher if you are. But the probability of that situation is going to occur more if you're in a floodplain, naturally. But, you know, my advice, if you have a personal lines policy, you have a homeowner's policy, naturally, if you have the mortgage on it, and you're in a floodplain, you're not going to have an option. Your mortgage company is going to force place flood insurance, so you're going to have to be required to carry flood insurance because they want their own, protection. But when you're not in a floodplain, the mortgage company is never going to ask you because they really don't care about your own personal property. So at the end of the day, if you have a homeowner's policy, look on the declarations page. There will be, you know, declarations pages on every policy, and that's typically where the name and address and effective date and your premiums and so forth is listed. On a personal lines policy, it's a little bit easier than it is on a business policy to see whether or not you're covered, because typically it will show earthquake and it will show flood. And it will also indicate over to the typically on the right-hand side of that whether there's premium charge for that. If there's no premium charge for that, you have no coverage. It's pretty simple as that. But the best case scenario is to call your personal agent and simply say, hey, I just want to make sure that I have flood insurance. The person may say to you, well, you're not in a floodplain. You really don't need flood insurance. No, you don't. But throw out some of those scenarios that you've heard on the show. You know, will I be covered if I have a surface water that comes in my basement window well and causes damage? Will I have coverage on, you know, a gutter that flows into my home, or the infrastructure of my subdivision can't hold a, you know, downpour of water and it backs in my front door? Will I have coverage for that? You know, the question's going to be no. But what you've done you've now kind of educated your agent, if maybe they don't know about that, because not everybody knows about flood insurance. And secondly, what you've done is you've posed the question, and if they say yes, you do, then you need to document that. So when you have that situation that occurs, you come back and guess what? You may not have it on your own personal policy, but it would be under the errors and omissions of that agent. So just pose that question. It will at least give you an opportunity to have a further discussion about that with your agent, whomever that may be. Okay?
Yeah, that all makes perfect sense. And as you were talking, I think I mentioned on the last show about, you know, where I live at the highest point in my whole development. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. But those would be questions I'd want to know, like the person you said who called in, where
there was
a blockage somewhere and it came seeping down through. The side. That could happen to me as much as it could anybody else.
And that
was a good point too about when you ask the agent about it and they say you're not in the floodplain, you don't need it, then to bring these other issues up because they either may not know or, as you said, may not care at that point. But certainly those are good questions to ask, and for that kind of money, it makes an awful lot of sense, it seems to me, to at least investigate.
It's very inexpensive, and in today's world, you know, we so many of us around live in, you know, concrete worlds, and we really don't appreciate until we have the situation occur, and that's really what I'm trying to do here is don't find out after you have to spend $30,000 because a lot of people don't have $30,000 to spend, and you know you have to have your home repaired.
You
have to ask the question before you have the claim to make sure that you're prepared. And then the second thing from the last radio show, again going back to professional liability, and you know as professional liability changes, which it does daily. But as we started out with professional liability when the series began, and we're still, you know, all these shows later still having questions that come up. Professional liability is a more of a complicated, I guess, liability form and or coverage for the surveyor, and you know that you have to have it when you have a contract, but knowing all the pieces and knowing all the questions to ask obviously is one that needs a lot of review, and we still have questions coming back from that. So one of the
we got about a minute before the break. Maybe we can pose the question and answer it when we come back.
Perfect. We can do that.
So if in this minute we've got left, maybe you can tell us what the question is, and then when we come back, we can answer it.
Well, the question is, you know, I have lowered my limit trying to save cost, and I ended up going without coverage for 6 months. What can I do to pick up that coverage again? And how do I go about doing it?
So I just made the choice to do that based on the kind of work going on, I guess, or whatever.
It was more the economy.
Maybe it was a cost thing, yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was more the economy. And so when we come back, I'll give you some options as to what to do about it and how to do it the most cost-effective way.
Okay. Well, we are going to be a few seconds early for the break, but rather than get you started and then have to break in, then let's go ahead and take the break. We'll be right back.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with International Mine Action Programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com, and thank you.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
Schonstedt Instrument Company has been making locating easier since 1953. First, with its yellow stick, the GA52CX, the industry standard for sensitivity. Then, the GA72CD, a shorter and more rugged version offering a magnetic polarity display and a battery and sensitivity indicator. And most recently, the GA92XT, built for portability. It retracts to fit in its holster and extends for one-handed operation and fingertip control. See them all at Schonstedt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
We're back with Lisa Isom again today talking insurance and coverages and things to be aware of. And thanks for that first section on flood there, Lisa, because it was so important. And maybe it's worth reiterating before we get into the professional liability one that you talked about, and because we talked about this during the break. It's so important to talk to your agent and bring these things up, because you can't assume that they're going to know and understand all the ramifications of what could happen.
Right. And, you know, as I was, you know, indicating, you know, it, one of the things that you have to be aware of is when you're talking with your agent, it's great, as we've always pointed out, to specialize in certain areas of insurance. But keep in mind, just like an attorney specializes in, as an example, contract review, but they may not have any idea about divorce law. The same would apply for insurance agents. So when you're asking your agent, you know, you're hopeful that they know all of the pieces of the puzzle, but they may not. And so, you know, keep in mind that, you know, when you're asking your commercial agent about certain items, they may know enough about the liability pieces of it and your surveyor's equipment, et cetera, but you may have to pose the questions a little bit more specific to get those clear answers regarding, as an example, flood or earthquake, because some people may not even write that coverage, and they assume that it could be covered under, say, national flood, when in fact it may not be. So, again, you know, ask the question. If you don't get the right answer or the answer that you think you do, document it just like you would anything else. And then, you know, again, you know, I'll leave that open to say, pick up the phone, call us, and we can go over it with you. I'd be more than happy to say yes, you are, or no, you're not, and then you can decide and go from there. So, you know, it's as simple as that. So, now, going back to the question that was posed on the professional liability right before the break, the surveyor called in and had a conversation with me, and in one of our previous shows, I had indicated that during the economy and you know, oftentimes surveyors will take a look at lowering their limit, lowering their coverage, or possibly dropping their professional liability because of the cost. Keep in mind that prior to doing so, give me a call. I'd be more than happy to talk through your situation. Don't feel embarrassed, you know, to say, hey, you know, the cost is too much. We're going into the winter months, and I can't afford XYZ. You know, at the end of the day, that may be the only choice. You know, we won't know that until we discuss it. But there are oftentimes a lot of options for you to get you through that premium time crunch that you have. But most importantly, keep in mind, if you've put together your professional liability and maybe your general liability, and oftentimes your workers' comp and your auto because of a contract, that contract has stipulated that you carry that professional for a period of time. Oftentimes it's 3 years. So at the end of the day, you may not have the option of dropping that coverage until that period of time has been exhausted, or you've set yourself up for a breach of contract. So if that is a situation, maybe we can work within that contract to still keep you within the contract stipulation and avoid that contract liability by indicating if your work is already done and you're finished with that job and no claims have developed since then, your agent and or if you're with us, we can certainly go back to the person that you've contracted with and indicate, okay, this is what's happened. The job is completed. You're now into construction phase, as an example, and then possibly negotiate down the limit that they required that you carry during the job's duration. But then from the discovery period, maybe we can lower that limit for you, therefore lowering the cost of your premium, still keep you within your contract liability situation, and then lower the cost to where you can maybe get through this hurdle of a premium crunch and without losing your retro date and without losing the coverage that you've actually purchased, and then also setting yourself up for maybe a loss down the road on your general liability. So, you know, again, there are options for you of lowering limits, therefore lowering premium, and then getting you through the time crunch that you need from maybe winter months. We're seeing more of that going on right now. You're getting ready to go into the winter, and you're thinking, okay, I don't want to pay this premium throughout the year. There are options for you to try to get you through to springtime. So I guess, again, going into that conversational piece about how important it really is to have the advice and maybe the partnership with your agent to talk you through some of these things, to look at those options. And if you can't keep that coverage in place, what does that do for me? You know, I just had a situation to where a client came to us from, another state, and they came in and they did that very thing, dropped their coverage. Now they're 6 months later, business has really picked up. They want to start it all back over again. They just lost 6 months or 6 years of a retro, and they, you know, they could have done it and gotten themselves through by just simply lowering the limit. So there are some options there before you just pull the plug and say, you know, I'm going to drop my coverage or let your coverage cancel for non-payment.
You know, I think it's, having said what you just said, I think it's a really good time to interject into the conversation. When we envisioned the joint membership program with the states for the 100% participation, one of the things we talked about was advocacy. We could increase our advocacy base. We could have more people involved. We could have more political clout, all those kind of things. But as you were just talking, it occurred to me that advocacy actually works both ways, because with the membership growing, the membership helps NSPS in its advocacy on their benefit. But on the other side of that, through our program, through our NSPS insurance program that you manage for us, that provides an advocacy from us back to the member to be able to help them through these situations where, because of the way our program is specifically designed and the focus is specifically on surveyors. So I just think that's really worth mentioning.
Yeah. You know, that is exactly it. You know, from an overall perspective, you know, I have conversations every day, every week, in one facet or the other, and I can tell you a lot of those conversations are not even members. I mean, not even insureds of mine. They're members of NSPS that are calling simply for the advice, and that in itself is my job. You know, it's what we want to do is inform them, help them, more as a business advisor from the insurance perspective. Now, you know, can I tell you, you know, here is what we see from a contractual standpoint, or here's what we come across from a legality standpoint? Of course I can, but I'm not an attorney. And so we can certainly explain to you from an insurance perspective options. You know, I just had a conversation last week with a new member to the insurance program, an existing member of NSPS, and it is one of the states that came on, and they're really very supportive of the combined membership. And that particular person, we were, you know, chatting and we're, you know, quoting their insurance portfolio for them. But one of the comments that was made this person has been in business for like 4 years, and they're now, you know, down to the point of really taking a look at their entire portfolio from an insurance perspective and getting the coverage that they really need. Whereas in the past, they were really focused on the business. And one of the comments he made to me was, you know, I was always embarrassed to call an insurance agent to say I didn't do this and I haven't done that, because he had kept his coverage with his existing personal insurance agent and had never really looked at it from a business perspective. So we talked for hours. We talked for about 2 hours talking about why you would do this and why you would do that, and maybe you look over here to do that. And his comment was, he kind of chuckled, and he says, you're not even trying to push me to do more premium with you. You're trying to lower my cost. And I was like, of course I am, because the bottom line is I'm here for the member and what we can provide to the member as cost effective as possible, but in the end of the day, covering all of the liability that they really need to do. And I'm a business person, you know, I own my own agency, so I know at the end of the day there's a whole lot of things I want to do in my agency, but I have to make money before I can do those things.
Yeah.
And you know, so I think there's a lot of different areas that come to play here. And one of the things that I brought up to him was I joked about my first surveyor in 1991, that every single December they call me to say, you know, we're contemplating trading in our autos, where do we need to be from an insurance cost to negotiate the price of the purchase of those vehicles. Well, see, most people don't ever even think about that, but I've trained them in such a way that, truthfully, if a person goes and buys and trades in a vehicle, they need to trade it in, but if they need to have the cost new between here and here, and that can substantially make a difference in their premium cost for the future. And something as low as $500 either way can cost them $700 or $800 in insurance. So, you know, the first thing that he does is calls me before he even goes to the dealership to negotiate his autos. And so that's what I want people to understand about NSPS, is we are here from an overall business perspective to help the member do their business more cost-effectively.
And that's a good message to go to our next break.
Yay.
So we'll be right back.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstadt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators, any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details. Or visit www.schonstadt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com. And here's something new from Schonstadt. Did you know that Schonstadt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details, or go to Schonstadt.com, that's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. and listen to the Doctor's Lounge, where you get a private insight into the conversations that doctors have amongst themselves. Join us Thursday, 8 a.m. every week.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
We're back with our third segment today with Lisa Isom, and of course here we are at the time of the show where we ask the question of the day. For Parker Davis Quick Stakes, our sponsor, the first person to respond to Quick Stakes Contest at AmericasWebRadio.com will be the winner for the day. And Lisa, based on our conversation during these first two segments, I think perhaps the question of the day should be, what is the purpose of the NSPS insurance program?
You know, Kurt, I think the answer to that would be the advocacy for the member.
I would agree with that, and so that's the answer we're looking for today for the first person to email that in. And advocacy for the member is the answer to the question, and I can't reiterate that enough. I was telling Lisa at the break, when things are so self-evident in your mind, you don't think about it as much in terms of using it to let other people know. So we need to do a better job of that because it's so critically important.
Yes. Well, Kurt, as always, when we're doing this radio show, you sit and you think, okay, what are we going to put into an hour of the radio show? And here we are into the third segment, and so we haven't even begun. So let's take off last session. We were actually chatting about we ended that session with commercial umbrella policies. With that said, I think that's a perfect intro to start off with the personal umbrella, if we could.
Sure.
So as we go in, again, for the insurance program for NSPS, one of the things that, you know, we want to make sure that everyone's aware of is this is all lines of insurance coverage for the member. So whether that would be the commercial business or, as we just indicated, going into the personal lines coverage. And one would say, okay, what is personal lines coverage? Anything you think of personally. So whether that is the commercial umbrella or the personal umbrella, whether that's home, whether that's your, you know, maybe you rent and it's renter's insurance. Maybe you have a home and you have a second home. You know, you have those secondary vacation homes, personal auto, RVs, mobile trailers, boats, you know, ATVs, any of those things that you think of from that you would use personally and insured through maybe a local agent or a personal lines agent, Geico's of the world, Progressive's, so on and so forth. So this would not only be for the owners personally, but their employees as well. And one of the things that we're going to be starting over the next few months is offering the personal insurance at a discounted rate for you to offer that to your own employees within your own company. So as an example, as an employee benefit, if you will, to say, because I'm a member of NSPS, we can offer to you and your family these coverages at a discounted rate as well. So going into that, personal umbrella, again, similar to the commercial piece of the coverage that we spoke about last time, the personal umbrella works the very same way. It is, you know, envision an umbrella, and you open it up, and it sets over and above any of the liability that you insure beneath it. So it extends that coverage limit for your home liability, your auto liability, you know, your boat liability. It is an extended umbrella over your underlying liability. Now, within the NSPS program, we do have access to several different carriers. One of the carriers, which, you know, our program is a multiple carrier approach. So that means that when you come to us for an insurance quote, we will quote you in various different companies and provide you a marketing list of those carriers. But one of the carriers, similar to the commercial, again, we do have access to insure uninsured and underinsured liability. So not just the uninsured, underinsured motorist portion, but it extends to uninsured, underinsured liability as a whole, which is extremely well thought out from this insurance carrier. There are very few companies that will do that, and you as a member have access to this. Most umbrellas will insure internationally, so if you travel abroad, it will cover you for those incidental coverages when you're traveling internationally. It is a true umbrella. Most of underlying, what that means is it will pick up, even if you're, say, for example, your home would not cover something under the home policy, it would drop down to $1 and give you that extended liability limit that's under your personal umbrella policy. Now, with an umbrella, one of the requirements of underlying limits of liability typically starts at $500,000. So your home liability would need to be $500,000. Your example of the auto liability would be $500,000. And then it insures over and above the $500,000. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, as we go forward with respects to the underlying limit, you know, one of the things that is oftentimes discovered and people really don't even pick up until they've had an accident is under the home, you have, you know, hey, I have my home insurance and I have, you know, two children, and we have, you know, children that comes over to play with my son or daughter or whatever. Your home insurance is insured, and you're forced to basically carry coverage for that because most people have mortgages. So you're going to have either insurance that's placed through the mortgage company, okay, and it's rolled right into your mortgage payment by the mortgage company, or you have insurance that you've placed elsewhere, and then you just have it escrowed into your homeowner's mortgage payment. One of the things to keep in mind from a homeowner's insurance perspective is two questions you want to look for to make this as easy as possible. Is the limit of liability that you have on your homeowner's policy, okay? If you're looking strictly from a cost perspective, you're probably getting whatever you can get for the lowest price possible. One of the things that you need to look at is that limit. The limit should be at least $500,000. At least $500,000. Oftentimes, if it's placed through a mortgage company, again, the liability is coming back to you. The mortgage companies want to take care of the dwelling, the property, within that building. So from their perspective, they care more about the value of the replacement cost of the home than they are your liability. So oftentimes that's going to be an area that you may see something as low as $100,000 on your homeowner's policy. You don't want $100,000, so just think about that. $100,000, you know, somebody trips and falls down your front porch, you just exhausted your limit of liability. If you have children and people come over to play on a swing set and someone, you know, breaks their back, you know, or falls and breaks a leg or whatever, your liability limit is there. That's where your liability will come back to you on your homeowner's policy. The second thing is how is your property insured, the home insured? If it's a mortgage, they may only cover the mortgage of that you have on the home. It's not a full replacement cost of the home, okay? So if it's through the mortgage company, you want to make sure that you, if your building burns and your home burns, you want to be able to build back like, kind, and quality, okay? So you want to make sure your interest is protected just as much as that mortgage company's interest is protected. So take a look at the value of the home that for full replacement cost. And the same would apply if you're getting your insurance through an individual independently of your mortgage company. Make sure it's full replacement cost and it's replaced back to value. Those are two things to take a look at.
It's kind of easy to see where people would sort of misinterpret that one, because I'm thinking back almost 30 years ago, you buy a home and it has a value at that point in time, and that's what you're thinking about. 30 years down the road, it might be worth five times that because of the way escalation goes. So,
absolutely. You know, another thing that comes into play is any type of catastrophe. You know, if you have a catastrophe in your area, are prone to the replacement cost of that because simply of getting the build back cost. So, you know, you may have a home that's valued at $300,000, but, you know, if you have, say, Hurricane Sandy, comes through, the replacement cost of that same home at $300,000 may now be $500,000 because right. You're going to have a shortage of contractors. You're going to have, you know, the supply to build back that same home. You know, all of the costs that's related to building that home back. It is what's misunderstood oftentimes is the sale price of the home. So if the mortgage, you know, the value of the home to sell your home has lowered, you interpret that as a replacement cost of the home. And so the mortgage of the home has nothing, well, it's, I wouldn't say has nothing to do with it, but is certainly not the value of the home to rebuild that home back to make you whole again. So, you know, that's one of the things, and then naturally the personal umbrella going back, it would set above that $500,000 limit on a home insurance policy. Again, on the home, similar to what we were speaking to with respects to the flood is typically not included under a homeowner's policy unless you ask for it to be included. And some personal home insurance companies cannot even add the flood. So they would have to go to an outside source to get a flood insurance policy. But one thing
another
to keep in...
good piece of information there. And we're about ready to go to break here. So before we get into the next topic, we'll go ahead and jump over there in just a few seconds and take that break and come back and pick up from there. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with International Mine Action Programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com. And thank you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
We're back with Lisa Isom for our final segment for today. We're beginning to talk about, we were talking about personal umbrella and getting to into some specifics on coverage when we left, and you were just talking about home, and I know you're going to talk about auto as we go into that, which is a thing near and dear to my heart right now because my daughter was in an accident about a week ago and ended up being rammed from behind and total losing her car, and so going through all of that trauma has been interesting.
Yeah, was she okay? Hopefully.
Yeah, she's okay. She got banged up a little bit, but actually, the lady who hit her was hurt a lot worse than she was. But she got pushed. The lady that hit her was actually pushed by a big bucket truck right into my daughter. So.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, when you have those real life examples, you know, you do, you know, those are near and dear to your heart, and you know, you can certainly apply them when they're readily in front of your face like that, and hopefully, you know, you can kind of prepare before those situations happen. So, to wrap up on the home, one of the things just as bullet points to make sure of that you're looking for when you're looking at your homeowner's insurance is floaters. You talk about floaters of this or floaters of that. These are actually, there are coverages that are automatically included under a homeowner's policy, and they're very minimal coverages for these, but things that you do need to have a conversation with your agent about the values and be honest with them. So some of those things are, you know, fine arts, you know, so things that you might not even consider fine arts are fine arts, meaning maybe you've inherited a china from a mother or a grandmother or whatever. They can't be replaced. Are they antiques? Are they fine arts? Was there a bronze that maybe you've picked up? You know, there are things in everyone's home that could apply, and you need to make sure those are covered. And photos, what I would tell you in today's world, go through your house and photo throughout each room, in drawers, in closets, you know, in the basement, in the garage, so on, to where if you have a total loss, you have documentation. And, you know, it's as simple as walking through your house with your phone and recording these things, because things that you don't even think about when you have a loss or have a catastrophe, those are at least nothing else but triggers to say, oh, what about that? Or, yes, I had this, or whatever, to where you can rebuild those valuables that you have after a claim occurs. One of the things that I can tell you...
Thank God for the phones, right? Because when we first started doing that years and years ago, you know, my wife numbered everything in the house, and then we had a list.
Exactly. So, you know, if you have anything like that, you know, you want to do it. Naturally, anything that is of value that needs to be appraised, jewelry, furs, you know, various antiques, paintings, etc., those need to have appraisals done on them, because it's a nightmare. In the best case scenario, it's still a nightmare to have a claim and then try to restore back to even any remote possibility. And the big thing is in my own situation, you know, just to have jewelry, your wedding rings, your, you know, anything of value, having it on premises or off premises. So meaning in your home and it's burned, or often maybe it's stolen. So have those, and have those in a secured location out of your home. But keep those in mind, that those are very limited coverages that's on the policy automatically, but you do need to list them if you intend for them to be covered in a future time for a claim. Now, as far as going into the auto, the personal auto, I too, this is an area that is near and dear to my heart with respects of the what ifs. What if this happened, or what if that happens from an auto accident perspective? And to lead into that, let's just talk about this. Is a I pulled some samples of verdicts because you don't really think about your life that you've worked very hard to secure, and you've got a policy that's $100,000, an auto policy, that a basic policy. An insurance agent's going to sell you a policy. Oftentimes they're not advising you. They're going to sell you a policy to give you an auto policy. But maybe you don't go into the full business advice perspective of what should I have my limit to be. So whatever your state may be nationwide, it varies by state of what you're required to do in order to get your license. Well, that's not the way you want to evaluate what kind of limit you want to have on your automobile policy. But if you stop and think about it and don't do it after you've had an accident, but $100,000, and oftentimes people will have a split limit of $100,000-$300,000. Well, $300,000 is not going to give you anything in today's world or cover anything in today's world. So where are they going to go if you have $100,000 or $300,000 on an auto accident perspective? They're going to come back to you personally in any of your personal assets. So if you have, you can't hardly even get into an emergency room door for $100,000 anymore. So, at the end of the day, keep in mind, here is a case in Oklahoma where a youthful driver, 17, causes an auto accident. The auto accident had a passenger in the vehicle with the child or the teenager, and after a 2.5-year multi-million-dollar lawsuit, the verdict was handed down to the parents of $49 million. Okay, $49 million. That's an auto accident. And people oftentimes think of an auto accident when you think of liability. However, going back to the liability again of the homeowners, neighborhood child comes over and was playing in the backyard on a swing set. The child injured the vertebrae in his neck by falling off of a swing. The verdict was handed down to the homeowners of $1.5 million. Okay? Boating accident in Texas. The boating accident, basically same situation as an auto, but they have, four friends in a boating accident, has an accident, $31 million after a year and a half suit that basically injured not only the passengers, but another bystander. So $31 million handed down. Where are they going to find coverage for that? Okay. What you don't want to do is lose everything you've worked for in life. But under your personal auto, oftentimes you want to look at your limits naturally. Look at the million, or the 100,000, 300,000. Again, you don't want anything less than 500,000 on an automobile policy. And then have at least an umbrella over there. Some states will require medical payments. Some states will require personal injury protection. Either way, there's going to be a very small limit there. Again, this is an optional coverage that you look for under your personal auto. So if you just go in the door and say, I need to have liability insurance in order for me to get my vehicle licensed, they're going to give you possibly the basics in a state. There are certain states that their their basic limits is $25,000 limit. Now, unfortunately, we all know that you can't get licensed without a liability policy, right? Well, or proof thereof. Today, about 30%, at least 30% of most drivers that you're crossing or coming in contact with don't carry insurance. They're uninsured, but you don't know it until after you've had an accident. So in that situation, that's where uninsured or underinsured motorist comes into play. So in today's world, if you have a personal automobile policy, you must have uninsured, underinsured motorist. And it's not that expensive. You must ask for it. So the uninsured, underinsured motorist to be covered for at least whatever your liability limit is, and then your personal umbrella then would set over the top of that. So in your situation, Kurt, hopefully the person had insurance, and so the uninsured motorist, once that's exhausted, would then come back to, you know, they're at fault. Whomever the bucket truck was is at fault. It's going to start to wherever it start the accident occurred.
Right.
But, you know, it will then trail down that way. So in my own personal situation, an accident occurred, an ex-husband and the person, there was two fatalities, and the person was at fault, had basic limits because it was a youthful driver, and he had about a year to 2 years of medical treatment. If we did not have uninsured motorists and underinsured motorists, because basically where it came back to us personally was under the uninsured motorist, he would have had no medical treatment covered because the driver of the vehicle was killed, and then a passenger was also killed, and the other passenger was seriously injured. So the money originally went to that passenger that was seriously injured. Then it trailed back.
All great advice. Unfortunately, we only have a minute left today, so I want to thank you again for being with me, and we'll pick up here again when we come back next time. And I want everybody to remember that word, advocate. That's what your NSPS insurance program is for you. It's an advocate to help you better understand coverages and to ask questions about what you need, basically, and for your circumstance. So, Lisa, as always, I appreciate you being here. It's been fantastic today. Really great conversation, and looking forward to our next one whenever we get it scheduled.
Absolutely.
I'm sure we'll have more questions by then. So.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Kurt. And, again, if anyone wants to talk to me personally, just 888-454-9562, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions.
Sounds great, and thanks for all you do for us, Lisa. We appreciate it.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.